And we're there. All right. Emmanuel, God with us. Not God up in heaven, not God distant, right? The God who came to us. I love that idea that every other religion in the known world is trying to strive, right? It's people reaching to God, desperate to get to God. Christianity, man, Jesus, God to us. He came. And that's why we celebrate this season. I love Christmas. I got major Christmas problems. I love Christmas. I don't know if you're one of those sinful people who think that starting celebrating Christmas early or Christmas music before Thanksgiving is wrong. I mean, can we just agree now that we've moved past Thanksgiving and now we can all be united together in Christmas? I mean, some of you guys are like just really judgmental and you need to not do that, right? There's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. But I'm a October 31st guy. We set our tree up on Halloween, right? Because in the midst of the darkness, let the light shine bright. Let's go. And if you don't love Jesus and you don't want his light to shine, that's fine. Just keep it to yourself, right? Because some of us love Jesus and it's time to celebrate Christmas. Hey, I love Thanksgiving too. We're supposed to give thanks in all circumstances. I happen to give thanks that Christmas has started. So that's what I do for Thanksgiving. Anyways, super excited because wherever you land, we are now in December and we're in the season of Advent. Season of Advent, which is really this time of preparation for celebration of the birth of Christ. And I didn't, you know, growing up, we didn't have a lot of the cool little Advent calendar things with the snacks or the toys or all that kind of stuff. But man, the older I've gotten, the more excuses to get snacks I can find. I recognize those calendars are pretty sweet, you know what I mean? But I don't know how you celebrate Advent or if you are conscious of what goes on in Advent. As a church, these Sundays that lead to Christmas, we'll light some candles that are symbolic of some significant things as it relates to this idea of Advent. Now, Advent is really this eager expectation, or you might say excited anticipation of the season of Christmas and the celebration of the birth of Christ. Now, I don't know why we have to use big words like expectation and anticipation because it's Christmas time, but that's what we have to do, I guess. I'm just going to pull out those root words, expect and anticipate, because that's really the picture of this season, that we expect something amazing in the experience with Jesus. We anticipate his presence in special ways. And, you know, unlike people who probably were there for that first Christmas, you and I already know the Savior of the world came. And so we don't really anticipate Jesus coming and being born on Christmas, but we do anticipate and we do expect some meaningful experiences with him in this season. But really, I mean, for us, this season of Advent ought to be about anticipation and expectation, not when Jesus will come as a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, but rather when he comes as the triumphant warrior who the whole world bows in recognition and in horror at the reality of the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But for those who are in Christ, man, what a moment that will be. Jesus will come again, and he will show up on the scene very different than he showed up this first Christmas season. And so as we prepare our hearts and as we expect Jesus in ways to show up and to be present in our season of celebration and being mindful of who he is and what this whole time represents, don't lose sight of the eager anticipation, the excitement that he is on his way and will be returning. And he told us that that would be soon. And so hearts that are prepared for his return this Christmas season are hearts aligned with the true spirit of Advent. And you know, I think about expectation and anticipation and excitement in the midst of all the chaos of life and the craziness of life. And Advent's such a great time to just focus and slow your roll a little bit. We saw Black Friday come and we saw all the Black Friday deals that moved from Friday to Black Friday month. I don't know what that looks like, right? Everywhere, all the time, and commercialism and all kinds of stuff going on around us. And I like the lights and the squirrels that distract and all the fun of Christmas. I do. The lights that twinkle are more spiritual than the ones that are boring and white. Just let me tell you that. That's in the Bible. So I'm just kidding. Jamie and I disagree on this. But I like Christmas, and I like fun and excitement and the joy of all those things. But man, it is so important to focus in on what Christmas is about, what it represents for the truth and the hope of a world in darkness, longing for light, for breath, for life. And I think that's why this word Advent strikes me in a unique way. If you know me, you probably would agree with the statement that I just see the world in a little different perspective sometimes. Not a correct perspective, I'm not saying that, but I just see things in different ways. And when I look at this word Advent, I don't know if you're like me at all, and maybe it's just background or life, but I see this word Advent, and I just see an HVAC checklist, to be honest with you. That's what I see, like, right? We got to add a vent, right? That's somewhere we got to put a vent in this thing. And as ridiculous as that sounds, if you bear with me for 2 seconds, let me just say this. What a cool picture of the season. In the midst of suffocating life, in the midst of desperation to try to breathe with all the chaos and the pressure and the weights, man, we got to add a vent. Get some fresh air in here, right? Pump in some oxygen so we can breathe so that the people of God can catch their breath and stop and pause and breathe this Advent season and focus on what really matters. So whether you're sophisticated and you use words like anticipation or expectation, or whether you just see an HVAC punch list and you need to get your vents added, whatever that looks like, this season together as the people of God, we're going to quiet our hearts. We're going to prepare our hearts for Emmanuel, God with us, so that we're prepared for this Christmas season, yes, but more so that we're prepared to walk in the days ahead until he returns to take us with him. So this morning, we're going to light our very first candle of the Advent season, a candle that represents hope. Picture from Isaiah, a people desperate to add a vent, to breathe in the midst of the darkness. A great light dawns, the light of hope, of real hope. What a picture. Eager expectation, anticipation that there's maybe something beyond the struggle and the striving. Man, we hold on to that tightly because our God is the God of hope. This word, hope, in this season of Advent is a word that I think sometimes gets buried under our pursuit of stuff, our pursuit of busyness, our pursuit of activity. And for those who don't know Christ, or who those who maybe have chased the things of this world, our hope is anchored in circumstances and in stuff around us. And we get busy and cluttered. But man, what an important time to be raw and genuine with the Lord and to acknowledge that he alone is our source of hope. I love this Christmas carol. See if I can say it without singing it. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Why are the stars so brightly shining? Because the darkness is so thick and so dark. shining lights in the city drowned out the spectacle of God's amazing stars in the sky, don't they? And sometimes you look up and you just can't even distinguish what's going on past the street lights and the busyness of life. And for that first Christmas, man, the darkness was thick. But make no mistakes, we can busy ourselves and clutter our lives, but the darkness remains for those who are not in Christ. O holy night, as Christ appears, the stars brightly shining, it is the night of the new dear, sorry, Savior's birth. And in this darkness long lay the world. Long lay the world. In what condition? Well, in sin and error, pining. Pining away, longing for breath, for life, for hope itself. Long lay the world, desperate, hopeless, till he appeared. And when he did, the soul felt its worth. No longer hopeless, no longer worthless, but now worth everything to the Savior of the world who was willing to come and to die for you and for me, for all of us. And what did that result in? Hope? Yeah, but not just hope. A thrill of hope. A thrill of hope. An exhilaration of the heart. Joy unspeakable and full of glory as hope courses through our life, our spirit, our heart. The thrill that it is not hopeless. That we are not doomed to sin and destruction and death because of all that we have done. But the Savior of the world has come. And a thrill of hope. And that weary world, our weary world, our weary hearts and our weary souls, rejoice. Again, I'll say rejoice. Gladness. To be glad. To have hearts filled with hope and joy and peace because of what Jesus has done. To no longer grow weary in doing good because we recognize at the proper time a harvest lies before us because of the hope of Christ. And weariness fades away because of the thrill that hope stands eternal. For yonder, I don't know what that means. It's a rusty thing, probably yonder in Texas. For yonder, just over there, breaks a new and glorious morning. His mercy's new every morning. The dawning of life, the morning star rising in our hearts. For yonder breaks, just on the horizon, in the midst of the darkness, right? When the night is as dark as it can be, the light begins to burst forth, the light of hope, a new and glorious morn that's available today to all who are in Christ, to have our sins forgiven, to have a new day in him, forgiveness, cleansing, righteousness, hope, life, because of what Jesus has done. What's our response? Fall on your knees, right? Just fall on your knees. Hear the angels worship in their voices. What a night. What a night. What a song. We sing some of those carols minus the depth in recognizing and in pausing to see what they mean. This one, it's about hope. It's about hope. Jesus, the hope of the world. In fact, the God of hope. In Romans 15, it says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this phrase: the God of hope. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. He is the God of second chance. He is the God of grace and of mercy. He is the God of fill in the blank. Right here we have maybe the greatest fill in the blank that exists. He is the God of hope. He's not the God who knows about hope. He's not the God who has access to hope. He's the God who is hope. He is of hope. It is the substance of his being. It's who he is. Our God doesn't offer us some funky thing that's a nice word. He offers us himself to say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Find your hope in me, anchored in me, for I am the God of hope. The God of hope. And may he fill you with joy, peace, in the midst of the circumstances and the heartaches and the difficult things that we experience. May he fill you with peace when? Just at random times? No, it's very important. As you trust. And trust in what? As you trust in your circumstances? As you trust in your situations? As you trust in your own abilities? No, as you trust in him. The God of hope himself wants to fill you with joy and with peace and with hope. But we've got to trust in him. There's action required on our part. We don't just sit in the corner saying, God, fill me with hope. No, we trust in him. And that means we walk by faith, right? Not by sight. We take steps. We follow him faithfully, even when we don't understand. Because he is the God where we have placed our trust. He is the one in whom we have anchored our hope. And as we trust in him, he fills us. But he doesn't just fill us, because that's not who our God is. He's not the God who says you get one Christmas present and that's it. He's the God who, while you're busy sitting there, is packing the tree full of blessings and love and hope and joy and every good thing he wants to give you. And I don't mean that like in a, you know, materialistic way. I mean that in a, all of who he is so good. And he wants you to experience all of it, not a little piece of it. He does not want to fill your heart to the brim. He does not want to fill up your cup most of the way so you can still get a little creamer in there. He wants your cup to pour out all over yourself and all over everybody else around you so that they can experience the hope, the love, the joy, the peace that's available through him. He wants you to overflow with hope. And not by your own strength, right? But by the power of the Holy Spirit. His gift is hope. His offer is hope. We place our hope in so many things and ask God to encourage us and give us hope while we hold on to all of this. And he says to us, hey, put that stuff down and come over here and hold on to me and I will give you hope, right? For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have what? Hope. The scriptures, the prophecies, this candle is often called the prophetic candle or the candle of prophecy because it represents all of the prophets, the scriptures, the hopes of Israel for generations, the hopes of all humanity fulfilled in Jesus. Everything that's been written, everything that we've learned doesn't point to a philosophy or an ideology or a religion. It points to a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. It all teaches us about who he is so that we might possess and hold on to hope. Right? Proverbs says there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Psalm says, yes, my soul, find rest in God. Where does my hope come from? My hope comes from him, the God of hope, the source of hope. So Corinthians says to us, we fix our eyes not on what is seen and the stuff around us, not on our circumstances, not on our bank accounts, not on our jobs, not on our health. We fix our eyes on what's eternal, what's unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, a fleeting vapor. But what is unseen is eternal because of the eternal hope of our God. This Christmas season, you're going to be offered a lot of things. And you're going to offer a lot of things. And man, it's my prayer that the thing that you long for the most, that you hold most tightly to, and the thing that you're the most generous with giving out to your family and friends and coworkers is hope. And it starts by being people connected to the God of hope so that his hope overflows in our life. Because you can't find this at a store and you can't go buy it on Amazon. It has to be in you so that you're able to give. And you can give away all your hope, just so you know, because you're tapped into an everlasting flow and you'll never run out if you're connected to the God of hope. This Advent season, may the God of hope, may he fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope everywhere, all around you, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Let's make that our Advent prayer. Let's make that our focus as the family of God as we walk into this season together. And let's be generous with the hope that we have. Lord Jesus, thank you for your incredible gift of hope. We deserve nothing. We deserve to be a world mired in darkness and hopelessness and despair. But you loved us, and you still love us, and you came for us. And while we were hopeless, while we were yet sinners, you chose to die for us, to make a way, to give us the one thing that we could not possess apart from you, hope. And Lord, this morning I pray that those who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that they would reach out their heart and they would open wide the door that you stand and knock at. And that they would experience the hope that's found in the forgiveness of sin and the cleansing from all unrighteousness and the hope of eternity with you. And Father, for those of us who are walking with you and who know you as our Lord and Savior this Christmas season and this time of Advent, help us not wait with expectation that's selfish, but Lord, help us to be lavish in our generosity of getting hope all over everybody we come in contact with. Lord, I pray it would overflow in us so that people ask us, why are we so hopeful? Why is hope always on display in our life? What's going on? So that we might have the opportunity to give the gift of you and of real, lasting, eternal hope to the people we come in contact with this season. Thank you for the thrill of hope. And we rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in the hope and the joy and the peace of the overflowing, incredible love of our God. And let's go share that with everybody we come in contact with this week. Love you all.